Well, if you have a Bible at hand, there are some in the back of the pews in front of you. Grab that Bible and turn to Psalm 67. We'll read Psalm 67, all seven verses, not a long psalm, but it's packed with a lot of punch. So we'll read that together, and we'll look at a prayer for CCC missions. A prayer for Christ Community Church missions. Incidentally, thank you for allowing me to go out to Cleveland this past week. I had a good time. It was a tiring time, but it was a good time. I was able to reconnect with some other pastors that I had met over the last few years. Some are going through difficult times in pastoral transition. Others are having babies. Others are seeing new growth. It's exciting to see what's going on around the world, really, because there are international pastors there, so it's interesting. So thank you for that, but it's good to be home. Let's read Psalm 67. Follow along in your Bibles as I read this important psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase, God. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Very short. But let's pray together. Father, as we continue to open up Your word, I pray that the majesty and beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ would shine through, and that we would gain a picture of where You have us here and where You want us to be with our missions efforts. And Father, I thank You for the many years that we have enjoyed at Christ Community Church of sending missionaries and seeing that fruit being born, not just in Lindenwald and the surrounding areas, but all over the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Well, let me ask you this. When you think of God's blessing, think about God's blessing. What usually comes to mind? When you pray for God's blessing, bless me in this. What usually comes to mind as you are offering up that prayer? Maybe it's blessings of financial success, right? So you can be prosperous in your life. Maybe it's the blessing of health for your family or protection for your family. And you desire to be blessed in your family's health. What if it's the blessing of seeing your children grow up to be everything you had hoped they would be? That they would reach their full potential? That this would be a blessing that you would gain from the Lord? Maybe it's the blessing of peace and serenity in your old age. What does blessing mean to you? Several years ago, Ruth and I were, when we were still in Harrisburg, I was part of a community advisory board, and we were administering a state grant called the Facade Improvement Program. Now, let me tell you about the Facade Improvement Program. See, we were living in the absolute urbanist urban part of Harrisburg. And there was a lot of state money being poured into that neighborhood, that series of neighborhoods. And one of the things that they were trying to do was to kind of upgrade or update the beauty of the facades, the street facades. There was a lot of blight in that area. And this grant was meant to beautify the street side facades of the various homes. So I was part of this team, and we were kind of working to make that happen in the local neighborhoods. And the idea was that the blighted properties could be improved in order to enhance the streetscape of these depressed neighborhoods in the city of Harrisburg. Pretty simple. And the project was going along really well until one day I got a phone call from a frantic contractor. He had been doing some work on one of the houses that was owned by one of the residents in the neighborhood. And apparently his work had not been satisfactory to this homeowner. And he called me up and asked me to come over right away because this homeowner was ranting and raving about something that this contractor did wrong. Something that she was not satisfied with. So he called me up and said, "Can you come over right away?" So I wasn't exactly sure whether or not I wanted to come over, but I did come over. And I cautiously entered this lady's house. When I entered this house, it was a rather large lady, about 10 years older than me, a lot bigger than me. And she was just ranting and raving about something that this contractor did wrong. And I noticed she was wearing a very worn out and embarrassingly tight shirt that had this slogan across her front, "Too blessed to be stressed." Have you seen that slogan before? "Too blessed to be stressed." And I thought, that's pretty ironic, given the situation. But eventually we got her calmed down and we worked some things out where both the homeowner and the contractor could be happy. But even so, in spite of that chesty billboard, she clearly was stressed. And I had to wonder if she really was blessed. Is blessing the absence of stress? I have to wonder. See, what does being blessed mean to you? The Psalm 67, is all about blessing. In fact, verse 1, bless us. This psalm is about blessing, but more importantly, this psalm is about God getting the glory that he deserves. Sometimes we can latch on to our own desire for blessings without grabbing hold of God's desire for glory. And we want a blessing from God, but we don't want to experience God's purpose for that blessing. We're going to try and find out this morning what that might be, because this psalm is a prayer. And what I'm hoping we can do today is to learn how to pray for God's gracious blessing in a way that also achieves and experiences God's glory for himself. So are you with me? Can we do that this morning? Well, to begin, let's approach this as a prayer for CCC missions, a prayer for our Christ Community Church missions. And the thing that we have to see with respect to this prayer is that we indeed want to pray for God's blessing. It is not inappropriate to pray for blessing. We know that that's what the psalmist is praying for. In fact, we find this prayer at the very beginning of the psalm. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us. I think I even have it up here. And make his face to shine upon us. Now, if you're looking in your Bibles, you'll notice that right after that verse, there's this word Selah. It's probably in italics there for you. It's the word Selah. Selah is a lyrical notation. It's really a lyrical pause. And this is what the people who know better think it is. And they think that this is kind of a way of pausing this psalm. And it's not really meant to be spoken. You see, sometimes you hear people reciting these psalms and they'll say, Selah. That's okay. But it's really meant to be experienced rather than spoken. Because what the psalmist is trying to do is get us to take a short pause and to think about what has just come to us. So we might say, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. And let's think about that. So before we go any farther, let's think about this verse. Let's dwell upon this prayer just a bit. Clearly, this prayer is that something would happen to us. Be gracious to us. Bless us. Make your face to shine upon us. See, we say that worship is all about God, and we say that rightly. That worship is all about God, and yet in God's economy, we are clearly beneficiaries of God's grace and blessing. So it's not inappropriate to ask for something for us. But the blessing that we ask for is not without purpose. Let's say you've been blessed with a beautiful singing voice. Why has God given you that beautiful singing voice? So you can build up yourself and so that you can get all kinds of accolades? Or is it for some higher purpose? Maybe God has given you financial wealth and you have been blessed financially. Is it so that you can simply go out and buy whatever you want to buy and enjoy your life? Or is that financial wealth, is that blessing for a higher purpose? See, when the psalmist asks God to bless us, it's good that it's coming to us. But he also wants us to realize that there is a higher purpose. But what happens when we don't realize that? Look at James chapter 4. You ask and do not receive. Sometimes we do receive, don't we? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. We ask God to bless us so that we can enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. But there is a higher purpose to those blessings that God gives to us. How many times have we asked for God's blessing, and yet somehow we have failed to receive it or to enjoy it or to use it in the way that God has determined? Well, the psalmist does tell us that God will bless us. Look at verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. In other words, the earth is continuing to produce and will produce and has produced. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. See, God's blessing is guaranteed. Question is, what's the purpose behind that blessing? In fact, what's the purpose behind our prayer for God's blessing? Is it to spend God's blessing on our own passions? Or is it for something else? Well, number two, we see the purpose behind the blessing. And this is really where we get into the meat of this psalm after that Selah in verse 1. The purpose behind the prayer. See, if we know that the purpose behind this prayer for God, if we know the purpose behind this prayer for God's blessing, and we have that purpose as our number one priority, then we can be assured that that prayer will be heard and answered. So what is the purpose? The psalmist gives us three things. We're going to look through those three things, three different purposes. Well, they're not really different. They kind of build on one another. They kind of coalesce into one another. Three aspects of this purpose. First aspect is this, to spread God's salvation globally. To spread God's salvation globally. God wants us to be a blessed people. Look at verse 2, that his way may be known on earth and his saving power among the nations. It's interesting that the writer of this psalm separates those two sentences with a pause. But clearly those sentences are, those statements are connected with a little particle there, that your way may be known. There's a reason why we should be blessed. That your way may be known. To spread God's salvation globally. He says, among all nations. It's very clear from verses 1 and 2 that God's purpose in blessing His people is that His fame would spread throughout the world. And it's not just that His fame would be multiplied or broadened or expanded, but also that His saving power would be known. That doesn't mean that God is teaching us, or the psalmist is teaching us, universal salvation, that everyone would be saved. We know empirically that that's not the case. But He is saying that it is God's desire that salvation would be spread worldwide. That every nation, every tribe, every people, every language group would experience, would know the saving power of God. Let me explain this a little bit. Because this isn't just about informing people, okay, that your saving power would be known, or that your way may be known on earth, verse 2. It's not just informing people. Hey, you want to hear some good news? God saves. Jesus saves. It's not just informing people. And it's not just sort of the extending of a flavor to the ends of the earth. See, sometimes we think that our way is God's way. So we extend our way to the ends of the earth, and we think that we're extending God's way to the end of the earth. Whether it's a flavor of Christianity, or a style of worship, or a particular brand of government. But no, it's not just informing, and it's not just spreading our way. It is causing other people beyond our own culture, beyond our own language, beyond our own ethnic group, to experience true repentance, to experience true conversion, to experience true redemption, true salvation in Jesus Christ. We're not simply trying to spread a Christian culture. We're trying to spread a gospel that saves. We're reminded of this in the very last phrase of the psalm. Verse 7, let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Fearing God is obeying God. See, we teach people not to act like Christians. We teach people to obey, to fear God. To obey His word. And we demonstrate that by obeying His word ourselves. And we spread that to the ends of the earth. And if this desire possesses us in whatever blessings we receive, and in whatever blessings we ask for, then we know that God will indeed bless us. Because God shall bless us. Verse 7. So, it's to spread God's salvation globally, but it's also to spread worship of God globally. You might think it blasphemous when I say this, but it is true that the ultimate goal of missions is not salvation. The ultimate goal of missions is not salvation. See, yes, our mission is to go out and make disciples of all nations, right? But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of missions is what? Worship. Worship of God. So if it was God's desire to have a lot of saved people sitting around getting fat on His riches, boy, we would have that locked. But that's not the ultimate goal of missions. The ultimate goal of missions is to worship. We worship God Almighty. And salvation leads to true worship of this God, not in style, but in substance. And that's why we serve, that's why we sacrifice, it's why we send, that God would receive the worship He deserves. Look at verses 3 and 5. There's a refrain here. And those refrains are so important because they back up what the main point is saying. The main point, number one, verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. Verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. That's repeated in verse 5. See, we are making disciples so that those disciples would then praise God. Jesus himself tells us that the Father seeks worshipers, doesn't he? In talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God seeks worshipers. How does he do it? He does it through you and I, right? Or you and me. God seeks worshipers through you. He seeks worshipers through me. In fact, the Father seeks true worship. And the goal of God in glorifying, the goal of God is to glorify himself by glorifying his Son. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What? To the glory of God the Father. God gets glory when people worship him. God gets glory when people glorify his Son. And God sends people out into the world to express his saving power, to show his saving plan, so that people would receive Jesus Christ, their eyes would be opened, the blinders would be taken off, and what do? They fall down and worship God. God's goal is worship. So God wants us to spread his salvation globally. He wants us to spread worship of God globally. But thirdly, he wants us to spread gladness and joy globally. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you prayed that a Muslim would be glad? Think about it. When was the last time you prayed that a Muslim would be happy? I have to admit, up until studying this psalm, thought never occurred to me. But what does he say here in verse 4? Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Have you ever prayed that a pantheist from Asia or an animist from Asia or Africa would be happy, would be glad, would sing for joy? What about a secularist in Europe or a Rastafarian in the Caribbean? Have you ever prayed that God would make them happy? See, to be blessed, as we saw a few weeks ago, to be blessed is to be happy. And not just a temporal kind of give me a piece of candy and I'll be happy kind of happy. But a long-term joy in the Lord. A happiness that extends beyond the circumstances. And God desires that for the nations. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. See, when 9/11 happened almost 14 years ago, there were videos of Muslims all over the world dancing in the streets, jumping around and singing for joy. And it made us cringe, didn't it? But that's not the kind of joy that this psalmist is talking about. That's the kind of temporal happiness of sticking it to somebody and getting revenge. That's not the joy that God wants for these folks. God wants the joy of knowing God's salvation personally, intimately, in the heartly. That's the kind of joy that God wants for all nations. See, we pray for their salvation, and that's not a bad prayer. Sometimes we pray that our enemies would really be hit by God. And there are psalms in the Bible that talk about that. We're asking for God to really judge those enemies. Those are called imprecatory psalms, if you really needed to know that. But really in this psalm, God wants us to pray that our enemies, that the nations, that the people who are different from us, the people that speak different languages, people who have different ethnic backgrounds, that they would be glad, that they would sing for joy. How should they be glad? Why should they be glad? Well, the verse tells us in verse 4. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. How is a person going to be made glad in the Lord? By God's sovereignty and by God's righteousness. And that's really what this verse is talking about. He judges the peoples with equity and guides the nation upon earth. It simply means that God is not only just and righteous, He's also sovereign. He's just in that He is no respecter of persons. He treats people according to His own righteous rule. His righteousness is an extension of His character. So He always acts according to His character. So He judges the peoples with equity. But it also tells us that He is sovereign, that He guides the nations upon earth. See, it's not either or, it's both and. He is both righteous and sovereign. Now think about that for a minute. What would happen if God were righteous, but were not sovereign? If He would know what to do, but had no ability to carry it out? Well, he'd have a law of justice, but He would have no way of enforcing it. God could not enforce justice in this world. Rulers would never stop abusing people. People would never stop abusing people. You've heard the phrase, hurt people, hurt people. Well, the truth is, sinful people hurt people. And every one of us is sinful. And there would be no means of stopping the hurt, stopping the violence, stopping the injustice in the world. Even though God is just, He would have no ability to enforce that. And people would just continue sinking deeper and deeper into despair. And that's not good. It wouldn't cause anyone to be glad. Unless, of course, you're one of the abusers. But what if God were sovereign, but not just? He would have the ability to enforce His law, but His law was capricious. His law was flexible. He was a respecter of person. He would give one person one thing and another person something completely different just because I think I'll do it that way. That would also be tragic for the human race, wouldn't it? It would be tragic for creation. It would mean that God Himself was the problem. And people would still have no hope for relief because we would be at the mercy of a God who maybe didn't care, a God who could change His law at will. But that's not the way it is. God is both sovereign and righteous. He judges the peoples equitably. He's not biased. He's not corrupt. But He also guides the nations. There is not a single dictator who has ever lived on this earth who has more control than God. God guides the nations. And He guides the nations through the hearts of His people. So when a commuter train jumps the tracks and nobody seems to know what's going on, we can be assured that God sees and God remembers. Even as we struggle to pick up the pieces. And God makes note of all that, and He judges equitably, and He guides the nations upon the earth, even when we have tragic accidents like that. To me, that's a source of gladness, isn't it? It's a source of joy. He blesses us so that we can bless others with the gospel. The gospel that's carried worldwide through global missions. The gospel that produces true worshipers of God. The gospel that makes the nations glad and causes them and us to sing for joy. So what kinds of blessings are you praying for? Are you praying that God would give you a great job? That's a great prayer. But what is the purpose behind that prayer? Do you want a great job so that you can make the nations glad? It's a great, great purpose behind that prayer. Do you want a good education so that God's saving power can be known among the nations? That's a great prayer. It's a great blessing. Do you want your children to be safe so that the gospel can go worldwide and deep into the heart of your community? That's a great prayer. If you're thinking, if you're struggling, what am I supposed to do? Guess what? Pray that God's gospel would go through the ends of the earth through you. He may not send you, but He may work through you to send others, to make sure that word gets across somewhere, to allow you to walk across the street, to learn a new language, whatever it might be. Pray for God's blessing so that you can be a blessing to the nations. Have you thought of that? As we close today, I'd like to highlight five areas where Christ Community Church has been particularly blessed over the years. We've been particularly blessed over the years. We are now about 82 years old as an incorporated church. But our heritage extends earlier than that, into the 1800s, when this congregation, or what became this congregation, started out as a local Union Sunday school across the tracks. So let's look at five areas where we have been blessed as a church. Now, these five areas are based on five observations that I made in May of 2011 when I gave you my very first pastoral report. Incidentally, the reports are due today. If you can get those reports in, that would be awesome. I'm not going to do it, but I'll try to get them in as quickly as possible. But five areas where we have been blessed. The first area is this: our heritage. Did you know that we have a blessed heritage? We have a heritage that has impacted the globe just in this little church. Christ Community Church of Lindenwald, New Jersey. Nobody can pronounce Lindenwald for some reason, but that's who we are. Our heritage. We have been blessed with a heritage of faithful evangelistic and missionary service in Lindenwald and throughout the world. Pray that God would continue to bless us in that regard so that His fame would spread all the way around the globe. You might go to some place in Asia and you might meet somebody that says, yeah, somebody from Christ Community Church of Lindenwald, New Jersey has been praying for me, has been supporting me. You never know, because that's how God's kingdom works. So, we have a heritage that is truly a blessing, but we also have servants who are truly a blessing. We have been blessed for many years with many talented, gifted, and committed individuals who have been serving in so many ways. Behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, whatever it might be, Christ Community Church has been blessed with servants. Pray that God would grant joyful endurance to those who are serving now, and that He would also raise up new workers to help carry the burden. New workers. We always need new workers. We have teaching ministries. We have helps ministries. We have set up tables ministries. All of those ministries need new workers. Pray that God would raise up workers so that you would be a blessing, not just to this congregation, but to the nations through this congregation. Heritage, servants, finances. The Lord has blessed us over the years through the sacrificial giving of His people. and with the ability to send and support missionaries worldwide and to carry on gospel and discipleship ministries here in the Lindenwald area. We have been blessed with finances. But pray that God would continue to supply our needs through His people so that the nations would be gladdened by the spreading of His word at home and abroad. That's why we take these baskets out and pass them around every week. It's not just so that we can pay the electric bill. That's important. But through those efforts, we extend the gospel worldwide. Fourthly, facilities. The Lord has given us over the years excellent worship and educational facilities. Pray that God would help us to be good stewards of these and to continue to use these for His glory, and that He would grant us the resources to maintain and enhance those physical structures that are experiencing the effects of age. Everyone gets old. Buildings get old too, don't they? And cracks appear. And HVAC units break down. All of this is part of the process. So pray that God would allow us to be good stewards of these things and to use these facilities for His glory, but that He would also grant us the resources to put into place the necessary improvements. But lastly, suffering. It would be unhealthy to pray for suffering. We're not masochists, and it really would be a testing of God. God, give us suffering. We also should recognize that suffering exists, and we should embrace it when it does. The Lord has placed us in a community that is suffering severely, physically, emotionally, financially, and especially spiritually. Through conditions that plague most of our country and world. We don't have anything different than the rest of the world has. Pray that God would bless us with compassionate hearts and with the means to minister to those needs so that the way of Christ may be known on earth and His saving power among the nations. Can you pray for this? Are you willing to pray for that? And can you treat your prayers for personal blessings as a means to glorify God? Because if you do that, I guarantee you, verse 7, God shall bless us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would bless us as You have already blessed us.